Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Well, I'm glad to be here. In fact, I'm glad to be anywhere. 4 weeks ago, a church in South Carolina announced my death. It was on the radio and on the internet. I guess they heard the story. One of our missionaries drowned out in the Philippines back in August, and someone was telling someone else that one of Brother Godfrey's missionaries drowned, and the story was told, Brother Godfrey drowned in the Philippines trying to save people. So they made the announcement in church. People were calling me that afternoon. And I said, who did you think was going to answer if I was dead? So I'm glad to be here. The last 6 weeks I've been on the road. I just came back from Delaware. Been in Delaware, Louisville, Kentucky, Michigan, Indiana, Rhode Island, and Greenville, Tennessee in the last 6 weeks, preaching 6 or 7 times a week, being around missionaries. What a joy and privilege that is. I want to start tonight with one verse in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 9. Brother Furso used this yesterday in the soul winning rally, but I would like to use it again. I'd like to use it tonight to start a very simple, and I would say short, I think I would be right about that. And I hope sweet message tonight, a challenge to you about missions. I know you just had missions conference, and it was to my regret, I was not here. I was on the other side of the country preaching. I've heard wonderful things, so I don't know what anyone else preached here tonight, but I want to give you tonight something very simple and basic, but I hope will be an encouragement to you. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Now just think about these next words. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then I love the verses in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, just listen to them, where Paul says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. For over 40 years now, for 44 years, I've been a preacher of the gospel. I was called to preach young. Lynn and I have lived the missions now for almost 40 years. We've lived in modern-day Europe and France for a year and a half. We lived in Africa. We've been the last 10 years now all over the Far East. This year already, I've traveled to China and Mongolia, another trip to Japan, another trip to the Philippines this summer. So we've lived it. We've loved it. I want to say this. I cannot think of any other way I'd rather spend my life than in reaching people with the gospel of Christ. We've loved every moment of it. We're always learning more about it. One of the privileges I have is to be almost every week in a missions conference somewhere. So I get to hang out with pastors and missionaries and good Christian people. And to see God touching the heart of someone to go to the other side of the world or maybe across America or some other place in the States. I'm always reading about missionary stories and missionary biographies and how they reach people. So I'm learning more about it. I've lectured about it for about a dozen years. I taught 9 years at Ambassador Baptist College. I've taught here now for the last several years. I've lauded it. I praise the Lord and what He has done for me and what He has done for you. But more than that, what He has done for people across the world. Linda and I joined BIMI in 1973. But I want you to know that before we joined BIMI, we were already missionaries. I had a heart for missions. That I mean by that, I had a heart to serve God and share what He had done for me with other people almost from the time, not right when I was saved, but not too long afterwards, I was 16 years old. And ever since that time, 44 years now, I've just had a desire to share what I have with other people. So I was a missionary really before I was officially a missionary with BIMI. I was a missionary when in 1968, I joined the United States Marine Corps, and I was a government-paid missionary. I was a missionary when we moved over to Highland Park Baptist Church 40 years ago plus to attend Tennessee Temple University. And our first weekend in the city, we went to the bus pastor's meeting and started working in the bus ministry from the first day almost we were in that city. Even before that, we had committed ourselves to be soul winners and to be soul conscious. Now, I'm telling you that tonight. Those things are in my life for several reasons. One, those are in my life because of my view of this book. I believe this book to be God's book. And I believe the Bible is a missionary book. And out of that book, it forms my view of God, and I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that our God is a missionary God. Amen. And missions didn't start with the Great Commission in Matthew 28 or Mark 16. Missions started in the heart of God before He ever created the world. I think you see it from the very first pages as God created man and woman and placed them in a beautiful, wonderful place. And yet they sinned, but when they sinned, they went and hid, but God came looking for them. And that's missions, and that's what we still do. I preach and I talk about this so much because I believe this book and this God tells us that the field is the world. Now, it is true that God loves Americans. That's not easy. When I look at what's going on in America, sometimes I have a hard time loving Americans. I'm only joking, but God not only loves Americans, but God loves modern-day post-Christian Europeans. And God loves South Americans, and God loves Africans, and God loves Chinese and Asians and Australians. And because of my view of the importance of the task, I've come to this conclusion. The most important thing in the world is the giving of the gospel to every person in the world. And I want to share tonight with you four simple truths about missions, or I could say four responsibilities of every church member in regards to this matter of reaching the world with the gospel. And I could be more specific. I want to share with you tonight four simple things that every member of Lancaster Baptist Church and every person here needs to know. And the first thing we all must understand about the mission enterprise is this. Missions is an essential purpose of every local church. Now look, a car can run without a mirror. It would not be safe in LA to do that, but a car can run without a mirror. A car can run without a door handle. I almost speak French in Espoir, Brother Keeley. We had to get in and out the wrong side of his the other night. Out soul winning. A car can run without a door handle that works. A car can run without a back seat in it. It might not be comfortable, but it will run. But a car cannot run without an engine. There are churches all across our country today where little or nothing is said about missions. There are churches across our country where missions is relegated to a committee. They may have I used to call it the Little Old Ladies Mission Society, but I don't mean any offense to little old ladies. Thank God that they can understand this principle I'm preaching about tonight too. But missions is not to be relegated to a committee. Missions in some churches is something that's they know very little about. They never see a missionary. My wife and I grew up in a church. We thought Lottie Moon was still on the field. There are Christian schools. Now listen to me. There are Christian schools across our country that are not producing missionaries. And my thought is, how could that be? There are places everywhere we go where they have lost their soul winning passion. While we sit here tonight and enjoy the blessings and the presence of God, the great majority of the world is lying in spiritual darkness. And my question, I guess, is this: do we really believe that? And if we do, it will show in our lives. Young fellow wrote to his girlfriend. He said, "I would cross the widest ocean for you. I would swim the deepest river for you. I would crawl across the burning sands of the desert for you. P.S. If it doesn't rain Wednesday night, I'll be over to see you." Can I remind you tonight that when you stand before the God of this universe, He will not ask you what kind of car you drive. He's not going to ask you what the square footage of your home is. He's not going to ask you what brand of clothing you wear. He's not going to ask you what your job title is. He's not going to ask you how many friends you've had. He's not going to ask you what the neighborhood was like where you live. He's not going to ask you the color of your skin. But do you think we might worry about God asking us the question, how many people we've influenced to know Him? I want you to understand tonight, my first point is this: the very purpose for our existence as a church is to reach the people around us with the gospel of Christ. Amen. And we fail in that purpose, we're failing. Years ago, I heard Mel Rudder, great pastor, missionary, say, "Anything short of world evangelism is treason." Missions is not something that's delegated. It's not something that's relegated. It's not a sideline affair. It's not an afterthought. It's something we need to take seriously. I read somewhere the motto of the French Foreign Legion, and it is this: if I falter, push me on. If I stumble, pick me up. If I retreat, shoot me. One day, Winded Grenfell, the great medical missionary doctor to Labrador, was back in Britain, and he was in a meeting with some distinguished British men and ladies, and they were at dinner that evening. And as they were sitting there, one of the dignified ladies turned around and said, "Is it true, Dr. Grenfell, that you're a missionary?" Dr. Grenfell looked at her for a moment before replying, and then he said, "Is it true, madam, that you are not?" My question to myself and to you all tonight is this: is it true that we're not? I believe that we have to understand the very purpose for our existence, not the only purpose, but the prime purpose of our existence as Christians and the local church, is that only our generation, only this generation can reach our generation with the gospel of Christ. So my first simple point is this: we need to understand that missions is an essential purpose of our church and our lives as Christians. Number two, we need to realize that we Christians need to pray seriously for our missionaries. It's from the local church, it's from believers in local churches that the power of prayer goes up. You know, praying for missionaries, I wish you could be with me and I wish you could go see the missionaries and visit them on the field and see what God is doing in their place. So often we pray this way: "Dear Lord, bless all the missionaries around the world." And I guess that's better than no prayer at all, but I wish you could go with me and hear them pour out their hearts as Linda and I get to travel across the world. May I make some simple suggestions to you? Get to know your missionaries. Please don't think the missionaries are some kind of weird, difficult, strange. Some of us are that. I plead guilty. I know I can't help it. But if we're weird, it's in a good kind of a way. We are not some super spiritual giants. We're just people saved by the grace of God that have a burden and a passion to reach the world. But would you get to know them? Keep them in your homes. Keep their prayer cards. And don't just stick them somewhere in a box. Use them. Pray for your missionaries. Read their prayer letters. Pray for them. Some years ago, we were having our field conference in Maranatha Baptist Church on the island of Okinawa. Usually every year in the Far East, we do a field conference in Japan and another in the Philippines and another over in China. But that year we were all together at Maranatha Baptist and we were having some preaching, and I had a Pastor Bob Wall was with me, and we were just having a great time. But one morning, the ladies divided up for prayer, and we men were together, and we were going to pray. And I know the missionaries, I know what they're going through, and that day as they all stood up, I said, Ken Lauman's a great missionary to China, great church planting missionary, one of my favorite missionaries out there. And I said, Brother Lauman, tell us about your year last year. And he stood up and he began to tell us how his wife's mother had died suddenly. And then his sister, who was married to an evangelist, they had 7 children. They were up in Canada. There was a car accident. His sister was thrown out and killed. And as he told that story, I said, Brother Bob Tebow, I said, Brother Tebow, he's a missionary in the Philippines. I said, stand up, would you, and pray for the Laumans and their family. And he stood up, and when he finished, I said, now, Brother Tebow, you tell us about your year last year. And Brother Tebow began to tell us about his wife's father, who was a Christian, had been to church on Wednesday night. Coming home from church, some people beat him to death in the driveway of his home when he got home. And he told that story. And I said, Brother Dan Gardner, would you stand up and pray for Brother Tebow and his family? And Brother Gardner stood up, and after he prayed, I said, now, Brother Gardner, you tell us about your year. And he began to tell us some tragedies that had taken place. And some of you remember several years ago, his youngest son went to sleep coming home from work, ran off the road, and hit 2 ladies on bicycles and killed one of them. And the burdens and the heartache were coming out. And as they prayed, before long, you know what was happening? We were all weeping on each other's shoulders. Can I plead with you tonight, when you pray for your missionaries, would you please pray for them seriously? Try to understand their problems. Understand that they're people who go through the same difficulties that you go through, people who have the same loneliness in their lives, people who have wives and children who are trying to learn another language, who are trying to adapt to a foreign culture, who are fighting spiritual battles. Let me ask you another question. If your missionary's safety depended on your prayer life, how would they fare? What I really think is this. There are more prayers to keep grandma out of heaven than there are to keep lost people out of hell. We need to be praying for our missionaries that God would use them in whatever place it is in this world to have a burden and a passion and to be protected and blessed. And the second truth is this. We Christians need to pray seriously for our missionaries. My third simple principle is this. It's also from the local church that we get our provision. We've heard about it tonight. Missionaries travel. They don't have a lot of options sometimes. They may have to take a train, but it may be a jeepney. It may be a tricycle. Now, you might think, missionaries riding tricycles? Have you been to the Philippines? You know what I'm talking about. It's a bicycle with a sidecar, or a motorcycle with a sidecar, or a motorcycle. I've seen motorcycles in the Philippines with 7 people on one motorcycle. Our baby daughter, Lydia, and her husband, John, and 2 granddaughters, they live in Nepal. They're missionaries to Nepal. All 4 of them travel on a motorcycle. Missionaries travel. Gasoline is expensive. Most places I go in the world, we think gasoline's high in California, but it's usually $6 and $7 a gallon in most other places I go. We need to understand that they have to pay those bills. In the country of Japan and other places, they have toll roads. And you think here, if you're riding on a toll road, I just came back from Philadelphia and we were on some toll roads. If we have to stop and put $1 in, or $2 or $3, we think that's awful. But in Japan, you drive a few miles and stop, and it's not $1 or $2, it's $10 and $15. And from our the airport at Kansai, Japan, up to our Bible college, it can cost $35 or $40 just to go there on the toll roads. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for missionaries tonight. I'm simply telling you tonight that missionaries need money to operate. They have to travel. They have to buy. Did you all know? I know I didn't finish that sentence, but did you all know that most of the times people don't give you tracts? Someone had to pay to print those tracts. Someone had to pay to ship them there. Bibles, songbooks, preaching on the radio, cars, trucks, jeepneys. Several years ago, I was out in the Philippines and I'd gone up. In fact, I was up with a missionary who just drowned this year. And I flew into this little airport. He picked me up in a 1972 Volkswagen van. I got in it, I looked down, I could see the road through the floorboard. I told the missionary, I said, Dennis, all you need on this van is flowers. I spent several weeks there with him. I preached for him, went out soul winning with him. Before I left, I said to him, would it be all right if when I get back to America, I write a letter to your churches and send out with your prayer letter and ask your churches if they could help you to buy a vehicle that's safe? He said, that'd be all right. It's 2 or 3 months went by and about $10,000. That's really not a lot of money for a car, but about $10,000 came in and we notified him the money was there. He called me all the way from the Philippines. He said, Brother Godfrey, I don't feel right to spend that kind of money on a car. And I said, it would be unethical for you to spend it on anything else because people gave that money because they love you. I'm just simply reminding you tonight that when missionaries, these missionaries that you just saw here in this conference, when they go to their field, they have to have provision to operate. They're homeschooling children. Our Brother Richie, who's our newest missionary in Mongolia, I went there with him this year in March and April. He called me last week when I was over in Delaware. He said, Brother Godfrey, what? I didn't know that I was going to have to pay taxes here in Mongolia. That's not funny, but you just will laugh as cry. He said, they're telling me that I may have to pay 10% taxes on my income here. Insurance. I could go on and on and on tonight, but I want you to listen to me. I believe from the bottom of my heart that God blesses churches that give to take the gospel out. In my own experience, I think back over my years. When I was just a young kid preacher, one of my heroes and mentors was Dr. Harold Seitler. And Dr. Seitler gave testimony over and over and over again that God blessed Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, because they had a love for the world to reach it with the gospel, and they sent out missionaries. Dr. Seidler had a strange way of doing it. He didn't have missionaries come speak. When you went there, you visited his service, you gave him a prayer card, he put it in the stack, and when they got to it, they took on your support. But I've heard him time and time again say, God blesses our church because we give to get the gospel out. In a different dispensation 40 years ago, I can't forget my days at Highland Park Baptist Church. Dr. Lee Robertson was my pastor for 4 years. And I remember going there and being in those exciting missionary conferences and over again hearing Dr. Robertson say, God's blessing is upon Highland Park Baptist Church because we're giving to get the gospel out to our neighbors and across the world. The People's Church in Toronto, pastored by Oswald J. Smith, over and over again, he gave that testimony. May I add to that list tonight, Lancaster Baptist Church. I believe there are many reasons that God blesses this place. I brag about it everywhere I go. But I believe one of the primary reasons that God is blessing Lancaster Baptist Church is because we have a pastor and we have church members like you all who understand that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl needs our Savior. Amen. We go soul winning and we give to missions and we do what we do, and you start colleges and you start Korean ministries and Hispanic ministries and bus ministries, and all of it is because we understand that we've got to reach this world with the gospel. Let me see your checkbook and I'll tell you what you really love. I was reading a book of sermons by the late Pastor George Truett. Dr. Truett told in the book that he had preached one Sunday, and after he preached, this Christian school teacher from their school came to him after the service just weeping. And she said, "Pastor, I need to speak with you." And he said, "Well, fine, let's go to the office." And they went to his office, and she was still weeping, and she said, "Pastor, I don't understand it, but I believe that God is calling me to China." And when she said that, Dr. Truett thought, of all the people in my church, she's probably the least likely to go to China. There's a history of tuberculosis in her family. She had a lot of health issues. He said, "Ma'am, I cannot tell you that you cannot go, but I don't think that the mission agency would accept you." And sure enough, she applied to the mission agency. The word came back, "Ma'am, you have the germ of tuberculosis in your body. You cannot go to China." Several weeks went by. Dr. Truett preached again in his church, and after the service, the invitation was given. The same lady came back up, still weeping, and she said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." They went back to the office, and the lady looked at her pastor again and said, "Pastor, God still wants me to be a missionary to China, but He wants me to do it in a different way." She said, "You know my family, we didn't have a lot of money, but my father left a small farm and there's a little income that comes in every month off the farm." And she said, "You know that I teach in a Christian school." And she said, "Pastor, I believe that I could live a little more simply than I have been living." And she said, "I can't go to China myself, but I can send a missionary family in my place." And that lady gave up her home, moved into a little apartment, sold most of her furniture, lived very simply, and many years later, a medical doctor missionary came back from China to tell wonderful stories of how many people had been saved in their ministry, and hardly anyone knew that that family, their whole time there, had been supported by one Christian lady who said, "I believe in it so strongly that I'm willing to live more simply, that I'm willing to give what I have. I can't go, but I may not be able to go in my body, but I can go with my heart and I can go with my purse." And she did it. And we need to understand that it's from the local church that we get our provision. Three simple things I've given to you. Let me give you my fourth one. It's also from the local church that we get our prospects. If you're a young person here tonight, let me say this to you. There's no greater joy in the world than to give your life to God. If you're an older person tonight, I would say to you, there's no greater joy than to give your children to God. If you're a really old person tonight, I would have to say to you, there's no greater joy than to give your grandchildren to God. The pastor, I was in Delaware this last week, and we had missions conference, started Saturday night and went through Wednesday night. The pastor and his wife, they had the rehearsal supper for a daughter's wedding Thursday night and the wedding Friday night. And I said, "Pastor, somebody's timing was not very good here," but anyway, they did that. But it made me think of our daughters. We have five children, we have three daughters, and I did all of their weddings, and we're doing the wedding for my middle daughter, and I've told you some stories about that before. But as I was doing the wedding ceremony and I got to the vows, she was marrying a preacher. So when I read the part, or said the part, it says, "For richer or for poorer," I said, "There's no doubt which way this will be." Someone told me after the wedding that they'd never heard a preacher joke through the vows before. I said, "I wasn't joking." Listen, I'd rather have my daughters married to a preacher of the gospel. I'd rather have my daughters married to a missionary than living in the fanciest house and driving the biggest car and having a lot of stuff. I believe it's more important than sports. I believe it's more important than making money. I believe that it's more important than popularity and power. And the cry of the missionaries everywhere I go is this: please send us some help. Not so long ago, we were in a meeting at BIMI, and a lot of pastors were there, and they asked us, all of us directors, to stand up and tell maybe what the biggest need we have is. And every one of us, every part of the world, starting from Southeast Asia and the Far East and Africa and South America and Central America and Europe and the Far North and in Africa, with that exception, every director said this was their greatest burden and their greatest need. We've got to have more missionaries. Sometimes I'm afraid you all look at a Dr. Don Sisk or a J.B. Godfrey or some of the others, and I'm not as old as Dr. Sisk, but I'm getting there in a hurry. You all look at us and say, man, missionaries, you have to be a bunch, it's just a bunch of old people who are missionaries. But I think you saw last week that that's not true. God is calling out young people. God is calling out middle-aged people. God's calling out some older people. You don't have to be a young person to go to the mission field. We have a family in the Philippines. She's a medical doctor. He's a PhD in engineering. They sold her medical practice. They retired at 60 to go to the mission field to serve in the Philippines. But wherever, every place we go, we're seeing millions upon millions of people. I just read, in fact, in the last few days that the world population, they're saying, has already reached 7 billion. And whether it be China or Mongolia or Australia or Japan or the United States of America, the greatest need that I see is that we need to give ourselves and our children to God. You said, Brother Godfrey, that's awfully easy for you to say. If we were not willing to do it and if we had not done it, I don't think I could say it to you with all honesty. But I'll say this tonight. I want my children to do what God wants them to do. Do you understand tonight that if God does not get his missionaries from churches like this, he will not get them anywhere. Because it's in a place like this where we have a compassion. We have a passion, if you will, to reach the world where we believe in soul winning. You see, missions is not just going to the other side of the world. It may be going across the street. It may be reaching the shepherd that's taking care of all these sheep out here. And thank the Lord he got saved just last week. It may be reaching that co-worker, that friend of yours. It's not just, let me say it this way. Missions is not location. It is people who need the Lord. Four simple things about missions that every Christian in every local church need to hear. It's an essential purpose of what our church does. And it's from the local church and from us that we're to offer up our prayers, our provision, and the potential for reaching this world through ourselves and our families. Let's ask God tonight to work in our hearts.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.